you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you were eight and you had...
Well, the top lawman in the state of South Carolina joining us here to round out the third hour of our Hot Talk Morning Show, episode number two, Tuesday edition, January 6th, 2026. The party godfather, DJ Slide, on the ones and twos. Mr. Attorney General Alan Wilson, good morning and Happy New Year to you.
Hey, good morning and Happy New Year to you as well.
Yeah, it's great to have you back on the show. Looking forward to a number of conversations with you over the next few months. You know, working as the Attorney General, obviously, with an eye on the governor's race and the primary that will be coming up in June. First and foremost, I don't know how this all works out, but we had your best friend on just a little while ago, and the congresswoman from the Lowcountry, and she made mention of you having a beef with her as it pertains to her response to the airport security and TSA agents down in Charleston at the airport late last year. I'm not going to get into everything that she said, but essentially she had mentioned that you have a security detail, so why can't she?
I've never had a problem with her having a security detail or any elected official, especially those who receive threats. My only issue was with how she treats people. That was the only reason I said anything. I mean, when you're cussing out TSA agents and local security who are working for free from a government shutdown, you know, I take issue with that, as did every other elected official in the region, including statewide officials. So my issue isn't with her having security. My issue is with how she treats them and people who aren't even required to provide her security. That was my only issue.
South Carolina Attorney General with us, Alan Wilson, defending President Trump's removal of Tren de Aragua gang members here in our state. There was a bust in Charleston last year, and obviously this is a pressing issue, and we talked about it earlier this morning. When it comes to the Department of Homeland Security, 416,000 criminally convicted illegal immigrants brought into the federal custody last year. That's nationwide. That's about 70% of all who have been arrested for being here illegally. We had a legal immigrant charged with a crash that killed a local school employee here in the Myrtle Beach area last year, had three times above the legal limit when it comes to his blood alcohol content. How do we get a handle on that, and why do we need more and more cooperation with local, state, federal authorities to really hone in on this issue?
Well, listen, for years, the federal government has fought against the states and their rights to try to keep illegal. And when I say illegal immigrants, I'm not just talking about people who are trying to come here to provide for their families. I'm talking about violent foreign terrorist extremist organizations. Tren de Aragua last summer, was not in South Carolina. I know this because I was meeting with the Drug Enforcement Administration, the Department of Homeland Security. I was touring the southern border, both in Texas and in Arizona, and they said that TDA is a foreign agent of the Maduro regime at that time. And they had tens of thousands of people crossing the border every week during the Biden administration, pouring into the United States, and they expected Tren de Aragua would be in South Carolina within a few months. Sure enough, I was at a press conference with the governor and Sheriff Carl Ritchie and federal partners a few months ago down in Charleston, and there was a bus in which members of Tren de Aragua were involved. They are now all over South Carolina. These aren't just thugs on a street corner. These are foreign terrorists. These are narco terrorists who are agents of the Maduro regime who have been coordinating, and we know this, with the Chinese government south of the southern border, right? The Mexican cartels, the Sinaloa cartel, and other cartels. TDA has been coordinating with them to traffic in hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, in fentanyl, methamphetamine, cocaine, heroin into the United States. And they're not just piping in this poison. They're engaging in human trafficking. And we know that this is happening in South Carolina as this is happening in every other state, which is why I've been working with the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, the DEA, the State Law Enforcement Division, and other state partners like Charleston County Sheriff Carl Ritchie and other law enforcement officials along the coast to try to root out these violent thugs, because they are poisoning our citizens and they're killing our citizens.
Now, with that said, when it comes to just the number of illegal immigrants, again, charged criminally here or facing some sort of charges, I mean, I could just roll through the database at the J. Reuben Long Detention Center and find people who are in custody and charged without driving without a license, no ID, and all different sorts of things. Does that pop up? Is that a local thing? Does the local jail need to contact ICE? How does that all work when it comes to getting a detainer and then working towards deportation?
So when President Trump came into office last year, there were three law enforcement agencies in South Carolina, excuse me, that were members of the 287G program, which is a 287G is a part of a federal law that allows local and state law enforcement to perform federal law enforcement functions. One of those functions is detaining illegal aliens. And so we are now, last I checked with our ICE counterparts and our Homeland Security folks, that we are now over 30 law enforcement agencies. The reason we were so few is because the Biden administration had made it untenable to be able to participate in the 287G program. They didn't want local law enforcement supporting federal initiatives because the feds weren't doing their job at the time. Now we have over 30 agencies, and a number of these agencies have detention facilities and have the ability to support ICE in their detention efforts. So we are doing everything we can at the state to promote and promulgate opportunities for local and state law enforcement officials to work with federal officials. Now that we have a friend in the federal government, that's President Trump, now that we have, you know, a U.S. attorney and head of the DEA and my dear friend Pam Bondi running the Justice Department, I have and Kristi Noem at Homeland Security, I now have federal partners who are not only working with me, they are supporting our efforts here on the ground.
Mm. State Attorney General Alan Wilson with us, also running for governor on the Republican side here moving through this new year. You mentioned, of course, honing in on you know, the bad actors, but they come in all shapes and forms and sizes. In fact, just last year, late last year here locally over in our Carolina Forest area, the FBI, with the assistance of local law enforcement, seized five properties allegedly a part of a multi-million-dollar drug running, essentially, a situation where a Chinese shell company allegedly was being used in conjunction with cartel members to pass along that money and trying to clean up that money. How widespread is that across South Carolina, do you think, and maybe even across the country?
I think it's pretty widespread. I can't speak specifically to this case because this was a federal case with the Department of Justice, the FBI, and the U.S. Attorney's Office working with, I think, the Horry County Sheriff's Department and other local law enforcement agencies. But what I can tell you is when I have met with federal officials, what I have been told is that the Chinese government is the senior partner in the drug trafficking trade, and the Mexican drug cartels are the junior partner. We know that there are major fentanyl labs south of the southern border of the United States. I alluded to this earlier in this interview, that the Chinese have been working with Mexican drug cartels, as well as the Maduro, as well as Nicolas Maduro's regime, you know, to try to pipe in hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars in illicit narcotics like fentanyl and cocaine. So we know that there is a working relationship with the Chinese government, the CCP, and other communist regimes in this hemisphere, like the recently deposed Maduro regime. And so this is why an all-out, cross-the-board, across-the-spectrum approach to combating these folks is what we need. That's why I'm pleased that the president took decisive action this past week with the removal of Maduro, because he's not just an illegitimate president of a foreign country. He's basically in league with the Chinese Communist Party, and he's also in league with the Sinaloa drug cartels and piping in billions of dollars in illicit narcotics into this country and engaging in violent extremist acts. This is no different than Hamas or Hezbollah or Al-Qaeda attacking U.S. interests. So this is why we have to work together, not just at the local level, but at the federal level as well.
Well, in terms of the legality as a lawman, when it comes to the ability for the commander-in-chief to take this sort of decisive action, there's been a lot of talk and noise across news networks and from his detractors that he illegally went into Venezuela. Where do you see that from a legal perspective?
Well, I mean, listen, Barack Obama did this. Bill Clinton did this. George H.W. Bush did this. I remember Noriega. I mean, there is a history of this. And if you go back just a couple of years ago, Democrats on the national stage were, you know, attacking Donald Trump for not taking on Maduro. Joe Biden famously tweeted that, you know, he would take on Maduro when Trump wouldn't. Trump would basically, you know, passively let him get away. And the Biden administration put a $25 million bounty on Maduro's head. You know, Chuck Schumer and all these other folks were out there blasting the first Trump administration and saying that Maduro needed to go. And now they're attacking him for doing the very thing they claimed that they were going to do. So I think the American people, I think the people listening to me right now they're good critical thinkers. They'll understand. They'll see the writing on the wall, and they understand that the president did the right thing. I believe he had the authority to do this. Basically, Maduro was nothing more than a massive leader of a narco-terrorist organization working with Mexican drug cartels who was whitewashing himself and pretending to be the president of a country that he illegally stole the election from.
whether it be money laundering, as you mentioned, or just widespread fraud, as we're seeing in a place like the state of Minnesota. What have you done as the Attorney General, and what do you plan to do should you become the next governor, you know, to really dig into this issue? Because as we've highlighted, you know, we don't know the numbers or how widespread it is, but it is going on in this state and every other state across the country. What can you do to assure taxpayers that their hard-earned money is going where it's supposed to go?
Well, for instance, this past summer in July, you can go back and look in our news archives. We worked with the feds as well as the state of North Carolina on the largest Medicaid fraud bust in South Carolina history, over $21 million in a fraudulent scheme. Obviously, what I uncovered with my staff to that scheme is that South Carolina agencies monitoring for fraud and abuse are not catching it because our modes and technology are way outdated. We're not using advanced algorithms. We're not using artificial intelligence to see the red flags. And when we caught these things, you know, we reported them. And, you know, obviously people in government monitoring this type of fraudulent activity weren't catching it. And so, you know, as the Attorney General, I can treat the symptoms by going out there and aggressively prosecuting all of the people who were conspiring to defraud the Medicaid system here in South Carolina by over $20 million. By the way, we have other fraudulent schemes going on now that we're currently investigating. But as the governor, I will treat not just the symptom but the cause by creating the South Carolina Government Office on Efficiency. You know, we're going to doge the state from local to state, all the way down to municipal levels. Anyone that receives state tax dollars, we're going to beef up the Office of the Inspector General. We're going to give them advanced AI technologies. We're going to create additional auditors, and we're going to proactively audit and review every dollar that comes from the state, passes on down to local counties and municipalities, including state agencies. And when we find this fraud, if it's corruption, we're going to prosecute it. If it's government incompetence, we're going to root it out by the stem and cast it aside. But we're going to reimagine government. We're going to transform government. And this is the things that I'm going to do. Someone who's been fighting fraud and corruption in government for 15 years is going to be well positioned to go after the causes of it as governor. As Attorney General, I can't do that, but as governor, I will.
We've been talking a lot about local, state, federal cooperation, and late last year, the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, proposed new rules to help empower local, state, correctional authorities to jam cell phone signals from illegal contraband cell phones inside of our prisons. Where are we at on that here in our state?
I joined in a coalition about 2 months ago, led by the state of Arkansas. This is something I've been arguing for probably 10 years. The FCC, you know, the coalition was going to basically change the rules by the FCC that would allow cell phone jamming technologies in the prisons. The federal prisons already have this. The federal prisons can jam cell phones. However, the federal law did not account for or allow for state prisons to do it. We've been arguing for them to add one or two words to the federal regulation that would allow companies to sell jamming technology to state prisons. This is something that our current U.S. attorney and former director of the Department of Corrections, Brian Sterling, has been arguing for more than a decade. I've been arguing for this. I've sent letters to the FCC. I've sent letters to Congress. I've joined in multi-state coalitions. And now we seem to be getting, with the new FCC under the Trump administration, we are starting to see the needle move on those regulations being changed and allowing us to have cell phone jamming technologies. There are people in prison coordinating human trafficking and drug trafficking operations. There are prison inmates who are becoming millionaires while behind bars because they have access to cell phones. They're ordering hits, and they're even facilitating child sex abuse from behind bars and trading in those pictures and videos from behind bars. This is why we needed this technology to be allowed in the state prisons, and I'm glad to see us moving in the right direction.
Hey, Mr. Attorney General, always welcome to join us. I know you'll be with us frequently over the next several weeks and months, and thank you again for the time, and look forward to another conversation coming up soon.
Yes, sir. Happy New Year to you.
Again, that's State Attorney General, South Carolina AG Alan Wilson with us here this morning.